You'll have to bear with me because on Thursday and Friday I was puking up nicely, and to say that I feel like an elephant has ridgewad over me is an understatement. So back in the summer I got a delightful text from Richard while I was away. He was preparing for the next preaching kind of season. And he was like, Lise, are you free on this date in November? And I'm thinking, yeah. So I went back, yeah. And he went, oh, good. So can you speak on this verse? And he gave me the title, Remaining in the Love of Jesus. And there was something within me that was like, oh, God, you know that that is one of my biggest battles at the moment. It's that battle within my head of, am I remaining in your love or not? So really, you want me to speak on this? I don't think so. So it's been a bit of a journey. But here we go. Okay, so we have been working through a series on John. So if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, you will have missed Bob introducing this bit of John nicely in John 15 verses 1 to 8. So I'd encourage you to listen to it. It's on Google Drive, so I can give you the link, or we can give you the link, or we can give you a CD as well. Okay, so I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Isn't it cool that all the songs in the story, God's stories today, have been about remaining in his love? When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd like a bit of overflowing joy. So we're going to have a little look at it, and we're going to look at it from Jesus' point of view, but we're also going to look at it from what he was encouraging the disciples and so us to do in remaining in his love. But in with that, God's kind of put his finger on some of my life story, so you're going to have to bear with me. And some of it isn't easy, so I've written it down so that A, I make sure that I say what he's wanting me to say, and B, I don't go off at a tangent, and C, I don't just stop. But before we chew over these verses, Holy Spirit was whispering to me about the word love. So here we go. Now, how do you define love? What comes into your head when you think of that word? There is a multitude of definitions out there. Found a funky love heart, for those of you that would just be listening to this and not seeing it, with loads of different words. But love can be that intense feeling of deep affection for a person or a thing that we love. It can be affection, an emotion, an attraction, an attachment. It can be a virtue of kindness or compassion. It could be at its fundamental basis the reason why the species keeps on going. We could break it down like that. So what comes into your mind when you hear the word love? Is love something where you've been in love, but you've also been out of love? Is it easy to love someone or something? If we take love to mean that love between two people, is it easy to remain in love if we feel that person is a little bit distant? What if we discover something about them that we don't really like? You get married and then find out they've got a horrendous snore. Now, that would be one of my nightmares. So, love. When I was at college, as a young teenager, I didn't know God. I didn't have a relationship with him. I hadn't even thought, does he exist? And the Christian Union were putting on this talk called How's Your Love Life? And back then, my thoughts of Christians was not very endearing. I thought they were a bit wishy-washy and wusses, actually, the ones that I had met up till then. So I thought I'd go along and see what these Christians defined as a love life. I don't really remember much about it at all, except there was a part where he was talking about girl meets boy and they fancy each other. And they fall in love. And they have that date, the one where they go to the cinema. And she sat there thinking, is he going to put his arm around me? Have I done my hair okay? Do I smell okay? And he sat there scratching his head thinking, now what will she do if I put my arm around her? And he does the back of the seat test. And the arm rests along the back of the seat. And she hasn't leant forward and she hasn't shrugged, she hasn't moved away. And so he thinks, right, I'll go the next step. hand. Yep, Dave's showing us for him, you know. The hand slips to the shoulder and it stays there because she hasn't shrugged it off. She hasn't gone, ew, or anything like that. And then in that, how, you know, she finds out that he likes long hair. So she grows her hair longer, even though she doesn't really feel as comfortable with long hair. And he talked about the little different things that we might do with one another just because we're wanting to love each other or we're thinking that pleases the other. And then he was talking about God and he said, there's this guy called Jesus. And he explained a bit about who Jesus was. He said, and do you know that he loves you? Full stop. And he paused. And I'm sat there thinking, you what? And so he talked a little bit more about Jesus. He said, he loves you. Full stop. End of. It's not about my appearance. It's not about how I speak. It's not about who my parents were, nothing. And actually at that time in my life, I'd grown up in an environment where I'd never actually had those words said to me before. My family aren't a family of verbal expressions. They're not really a family of hugging, but, you know, we manage now. But I'd never actually had anyone say to me, I love you. And I certainly hadn't had anyone say it without some sort of condition attached to it. But here I was being told that God loves me, full stop. And that stayed with me. And it still stays with me today. So are you aware that God loves you? Full stop. But God's love? Okay, found another love heart picture. God's love is enduring. It's absolute. Trustworthy. Faithful. 1 Chronicles says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. We were singing that this morning. They're not just twee words to a song. They're words of truth. The Lord my God keeps his covenant of love with me. Covenant is a promise. And God is a God who can't break his promises because then he's going against his word and he can't go against his word because he's God. So he loves me. His love for me is wonderful. Will never be taken away. It's unfailing. It's ever before us. It reaches to the heavens. His faithfulness to the skies. His love is priceless. For great is your love towards me. And good old Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So when we read this verse, and when we read, I have loved you, remain in my love. We're not talking about that wishy-washy, subjective love of the world. We are talking about God's absolute, definite, unchanging, unyielding, unending, solid, everlasting, faithful love that never ends, full stop. And that just gets me every time. And if you'd been with us over the last few weeks, the guys have kind of hinted at that this is Jesus' last time that he has sat with his beloved disciples. So can you imagine those years that he's been with them? They've ate together, they've slept in the same room maybe, they've washed in the same river, they've shared food together, they've shared the joys, he's listened to their woes, everything. And it's his last supper with his beloved disciples. And he loves them. And he loves them with God's love, not with our earthly love. And yet he knows that he's leaving them. So he's telling them, you know, the Father loves me. I'm his beloved son. And as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. And it's a strange expression of that twist in God's grace through Christ, that the Father loved him who is most worthy, and he loves them, and therefore us, who are most unworthy. So we are loved as children. Just as I remain in his love, Jesus remained in his Father's love. He abode in it. That means he was at home in it. He dwelt in it, fully encompassed by it. And he continually loved his Father. And even when he was made sin and a curse for us, he still loved his Father. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus remained in his Father's love and trusted him even at that moment. He was loved by his Father. And that's what he was comforting himself with in the midst of all of that, that he was loved by God. And that's part of my journey. That's what I'm learning at the moment. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Jesus kept his Father's law. He was a mediator. He showed and continued to show that he loved his Father. His soul delighted in the fact that he loved his Father and his Father loved him. And it's through Christ that actually we're restored. We're able to come into that love relationship with God. This is where I have to get right in. So can you imagine God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have been together since forever? Right, they've had this intense, passionate, unending, unyielding love for one another. And then God says, I love them, so will you go and be amongst them? And Jesus knew in that, that actually that kind of intimate relationship in a way would change a bit. Because he was going to be born as a man on earth. And he went through temptation, he went through hunger, he went through thirst, he went through pain, he went through accusations. But he had that deep joy, deep, deep down within him. Because he is loved by his Father and nothing and no one can change that. And he loves him. And then he's suddenly sent to the cross by his Father. And he's sent to the cross. Jesus, I reckon, had a choice at that time. I think if he'd said to the angels, come and get me, fellas, I think they would have come and got him. But actually, he trusted in the love of his Father that Father knew best. Because God could see the end plan, couldn't he? He knew what was going to happen. But imagine being in that love relationship and then suddenly you're separated from it. Because suddenly you've got all that pain and all the sin of me and you and the world upon your shoulder. I kind of think when you cried out, Abba, Father, why have you forsaken me? I can't imagine what it would have been like, because he knows that the Father loves him and he knows that that hasn't changed. It's just not quite feeling it in the same way, because God can't have sin in his presence, can he? And God can't go against his word. And Jesus knows that God's, the Father's love has never left him. For we know that Jesus died and 3 days later he was raised again, wasn't he? No, and God knew that that was going to happen. And that relationship, again, is restored. But in that, I can then have that intimate one-on-one relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, Jacqueline was using those words, that there's no space between him and us. That's what I'm wanting, that there is no space between my Abba Father and me. Am I there yet? No. Am I there in something sometimes? Yeah, but are there other times when I'm distracted? Oh yeah, but it's a journey. So whether it's because of what I'm doing or thinking, there are negative thoughts sometimes that will bounce around in my head. There is sickness that comes, all of that. But I am learning to know, in my know, deep, deep down, that Father loves me and no one can take that away. So what happens when we fall in love with someone? No, I've observed it amongst people. No, they keep staring at each other. I remember when John and Luana were first falling in love. And I think we were on the chase. And they positioned their chairs to be as close together without being on top of each other. They thought it was subtle. I don't know if they thought we recognised it, but we knew the signs. You know, what are we like? We want to be around them all the time, don't we? We want to know everything about them. Do they like coffee? Do they like tea? How do they like having their tea or coffee? What do they smell like? What do they taste like? No. What are their interests and their hobbies? What are they thinking or doing right now? You naturally want to spend as much time around them as possible, don't you? Or is that just, I've read it wrong? No, I think I fancied someone at one point in my life, you know, if not two. Sometimes it can be enough to know that they're in the room with you. There's that lightness in your step and in your heart, and your heart is like, choo-choo, 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 they're there I wonder if I'm going to get to talk to them today. You do all that you can to make sure that you bump into them, that you have things in common with them maybe. Maybe start going walking, but you've never been into walking before. And in the midst of it, you discover that you like walking, but you don't like him. I don't know, you know. But that's the love relationship that Abba Father wants with us. He knows everything about us. We just don't always think that he does. But he wants us to know the intimate things of him. And Jesus is aware that he's leaving them. So he wants to encourage them to do three things. 3 points in a sermon, maybe. So here are three things. Oops. Remain in my love. So that's me consciously choosing to remain in his love and to let him remain in me. No, my happiness, my self-esteem, my self-worth, it's not based on the job, the title that I have. It's not based on who I may or may not be with, my house, whatever. Actually, it should be on, I am in God's love and he is in mine. He's my lover and I am his. And it's taken me a while to learn that actually it's okay for me to say that. And it's okay for me to pray to the lover of my soul, because that's who he is. And I want to be someone where Christ's love is outpouring through me. Not out of effort or striving, but just because I'm, you know, when John and Luana, whenever we see someone head over heels in love, we all know it, don't we? Because you all see it, because they're either constantly talking about that person or they're constantly going, oh. There's no escaping from it. That is Abba with us. And Jesus knew that the disciples were to take on that love and to take on that message. They were going to go out and they were going to follow after Christ. And in that, they were going to face many troubles. But Christ is saying to him, continue in my love. Keep up your love to me. And then in all the troubles that you meet, well, it said in my commentary, it will be easy. It's not easy, but he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Go and read the story of Jacob. Love made 7 years hard service easy for him. He lived through it. And there was a quote that I read. Let not the troubles you meet with for Christ's sake quench your love to Christ, but rather quicken it. So in all the stuff going on in my life, I don't want that to be something that I put in as and that puts a block. You know, I'm the only one who can distance myself from him because he never moves from me. So whatever my thought pattern might be, you know, depression is a horrible thing. It's that black dog that comes yapping constantly at your feet. So actually, for me, am I going to listen to that black dog? Sometimes, yeah, I do, because I'm human. I fail. But actually, I can put a CD on. I can go and see someone. I can text somebody and say, pray for me. Come and take me for a coffee. That I then am beginning to fix my mind back on him and his truths and not in the pit of despair where I might have been. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Now, he was telling them because he wanted his joy to remain in them and it be a joy not that's based on how we're serving him, how we're loving him or not, how many times we're reading the Bible or not. His joy is made complete in me because of Jesus, not because of me. Now, if I'm bringing forth fruit, I want it to be good fruit. I want it to be fruit that glorifies him. We talk about that there is a part in heaven, don't we, when somebody becomes a Christian. We say, oh, you know, there's a part in heaven for you. But do you know that there's a remaining joy and party that goes on in heaven and on earth when we persevere? And that's what we're called to do. We're called to persevere. And that's not easy, is it? And it can be downright exhausting. But that's where you lot come in, as well as God. And Philippians 4 talks about the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. But the joy of those who abide in Christ's love is a continual feast. It never ends. There's always something to scoff on. Quite like the thought of, you know, an all-you-can-eat buffet but never getting full. So I don't ever want to get full and think I'm satisfied with the love that I've experienced from God. I want to be eating more. I want to be praising him on the mountaintops and in the valleys low. You know, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. The idea is that we're filled with his joy. It comes from him. It's beyond all of our circumstances and our situations. When I hear that somebody I love has died, that was yesterday, I can still turn to him and say, but actually, whereas, you know, you promise that sorrow will turn into dancing, mourning into joy, celebration of life that was led. If we put our joy in worldly things, if we put our joy in who our partner is, our joy in our children, in our possessions, what's going to happen? At some point, they're going to fail us. Not deliberately, not with mean intent, no, but worldly things fade away. But the love of God remains. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. You know, I love that because of Jesus dying on the cross, we don't live under law, do we? We live under grace. That's part of the beauty of today, but also part of the encouragement of today, still to follow after him. Now, what guidance does he give on how best to live? His love for me is constant. You shall abide in my love, remain in my love. If I'm in my dwelling place, my home, I should be at my most ease there. I should be at my most comfortable. I should feel the safest when I'm at home. And that's what Jesus is saying God's love should be like. His love is our dwelling place. Be comfortable in it. Be secure in it. Be confident in it. Because it's a great place to be. And then you should have grace and strength to persevere in loving me. No, persevering is hard. But the great thing is I don't have to do that by myself. Because if it's all based on me and my own strength, well, hey, no, I failed at first base, and we're going to have a little look at that. If you keep my commandments. The disciples were encouraged to keep Christ's commandments, not only by constantly seeking to follow after Jesus and to be like him, but by faithful delivery of them to others. No, Jesus is here with his best mates for his last meal with them, before he knows he's going to go to that cross. And he's saying, I'm entrusting you with me. I'm entrusting you with the love that I've given you. I'm entrusting you with the promises that I've given you. I'm entrusting you with the message and the commandments that I've given you, that you will pass them on to others. And I'm not going to get into the commandments because I think somebody else has that joy next week. No, the week after. Okay. They were trustees. And if they were trustees and that was trusted to them, well, that's trusted to us as well, because he loves us just the same. Okay, intimacy with God. God is a God of absolute love. It's based on him, it comes from him. His love isn't dependent upon how much I've thought or wondered about him, what he's doing, where he is. Because the Bible tells me he's always with me. His love isn't based on the works that I carry out, the areas in which I serve. Don't get me wrong, he loves that we serve. But his real pleasure, his real joy, is when we let him become intimate with us. He gets pleasure from relationship with us. That we think about him as we wash up, sit on the loo, drive to work, walk to school. He loves it when we chat with him, even in our heads, about the days ahead, the hour ahead. When we invite him into all aspects of our life. The side says, to tell you my story is to tell you of him. And I love how he's been at work in my life. Need a little swingy suit. I was attacked when I was around 12. Three lads thought they would grab hold of me and force themselves upon me. And it's taken many, many years, Jean will know, because we had a green bottle work many years ago in a forest. But it's taken me many, many years to learn that God isn't like them. He doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't just take from us what we don't want to give. He doesn't dictate how we should be when we're with him. He doesn't force us to do things we don't like to do. He doesn't get angry if we just want to sit. Don't mishear me. God is a jealous God. You know, he loves it when our focus and our attention is all upon him. He loves it when we choose to spend time with him in whatever shape that may be for each of us. It will be different. He loves it when we choose to trust him, even though our thoughts, our feelings are a little bit out, or that we don't feel like he is there. It's a lie of the enemy that I am learning to tell him to get knotted each day. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So when I use the words that I allow God, I give him permission. It seems weird because God can just come in an instant, can't he? But that's how gracious he is. That's how much he loves us. He doesn't force himself upon us. There are times when I felt like the unfaithful wife. I'm not a wife, but actually I'm told I'm the bride of Christ. But I sometimes feel I've been unfaithful to him because I've been distracted by my pain, or I've sat and watched unending movies, you know, Star Wars 3 in a row or something, or detective books because I love a good thriller. But those things don't really feed my soul in the way that Abba Father longs to. And I've lost hours to depression curled up on my bed. But I'm learning in that moment to put my CD on, and there's certain CDs with songs of truth that I will just have playing over me because I can't sing for myself, but somebody else can sing for me. Yet in all of that, God's love for me remains strong, true and consistent. And that brings me real freedom, and that brings me real release and wonder and pleasure and joy, because his love for me never changes. And that's what I'm learning. That's the journey that I'm on. Next, hey, well done for fixing it. Do I find it easy to remain in him? Absolutely not. Yet God, in his love, knew the battles that I would face. He knew the family I was going to be born into. He knew everything that was going to happen to me in my life. He also knew that as humans, we are bound to fail. And what I love is, you know, Jesus, he could have left Jesus on the earth for a few more years, couldn't he? There's no rhyme or reason as to why it happened then. But actually, I kind of figure he knew that the Holy Spirit could do so much more, because the Holy Spirit can be with all of us all around the world all at one time, unlike Jesus. And I think, wow, my brain, I can't grasp that sometimes. But he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be our encourager, our equipper, our enabler. So for me, part of my journey has and still is to allow the Holy Spirit to woo me. When you first fell in love, I bet you wooed them, didn't you? I bet you found little presents for them, if that's your love language, or you wrote little cards. You found out where they would be and you would accidentally be there at the same time. You found ways to chase after them. Or am I wrong? No. Okay. You wooed them. And the Holy Spirit wants to woo us. He wants to woo me to love me. He wants to cast off all those negative thoughts, those feelings, those fears from when I was younger. And I've had to allow him. I've had to give God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit permission to work within me. In those areas where I've trusted no one. In those areas of self-loathing. So in those areas of self-loathing, believing the lie that these things have happened because of me, that was something that was over me for a very long time. In those areas of absolute fear of being out of control, fear of being vulnerable, fear of intimacy, because of the distorted view I had of all these things and more. But God hasn't thrust himself violently upon me. He's been gentle. He's taken his time. He's given me the space that I never knew I needed. He has and is wooing me. He's showing me that I can trust him, love him, and he will never thrust that love back in my face. He's showing me what love actually means from his point of view, and he's turning my view around. So to be able to say to you, I love you, I want to spend time with you, I want to laugh with you, cry with you, share with you, that's God at work, because I wouldn't have bothered with any of that years ago. It isn't easy, is it? But God loves everything about us. Even what we view within ourselves as the good, the bad and the ugly, they're not. That's how we view them. That's the lies that we're living in. But when we give those areas to him, he then begins to reveal the beauty that can sometimes only be found in the desert places. So do you know that you're chosen to come near? That we have that privilege of being able to come to Abba Father whenever we want, because he's always right there. He never moves. He never lifts his gaze from us. No, I sometimes think, is he designed like a spider that he has multiple eyes? Because how can he be looking at you and looking at me as well? But he's God, so he can. Now, Jesus is telling the disciples he's been a faithful trustee. And as the Father has committed his love to me, so I transmit it to you. The Father was well pleased with him, that he might be well pleased with us in him. And loved him, that in him we are his beloved. And Abba Father wants each of us to know how well pleased he is with you. And you might be sat there thinking, oh, he can't be pleased with me because of, and you can easily rattle off a list. But he says, stuff the list. I'm well pleased with you. I love you. With all your warts, in what you view as your good, your bad, and your ugly, I love you. I'm pleased with you. And do we know that deep, deep down? Or what robs us of that truth? That we are loved by him. We're his beloved. We're accepted by him, and nothing can change that, and nothing can separate us from that truth and from his love. No, for me, I just think, wow, Lord. No, don't let us ever give up, because God's love and glory never, ever gives up or fails us. I found this excellent slide on relationships. And I just thought, do you know what? I need your help and your encouragement to remain in the love of Jesus just as much as I need the Holy Spirit's. I need your help to rely on God's word. When I'm in my darkest places, I need you to give me a word that brings light into that darkness. I want relationships where we're encouraging and building each other up, where we're not criticizing, we're not dissing, we're not pulling each other down, because the world does enough of that. I want relationships with you that are long-lasting. I want to learn to always be patient, because actually God is right in each of our love stories. How cool is that? You know, I want to learn to be able to tell you how beautiful you are, just in the same way that I'm beautiful, because in God we are, and that I trust in both God and you, that we have a relationship that is Christ-centered, that we never lead each other astray from what is important, and that's God, that we're seeking God first, that we learn to humble ourselves and serve others before ourselves. That I actually make a commitment to loving you. Now, I'm not always easy to love, am I? I get grumpy. I have my blur days. But actually, being in that committed to loving each other as Jesus has loved us, praying for each other, sharing the word with each other. Now, Holy Spirit is there to help each one of us, to encourage us, to woo us. But this is the relationship that God wants with us and wants us to have with each other and with the community around us. We all need help to remain in his joy. And then I came across this slide, which is a bit of a curveball, because it is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the way it's been portrayed on the slide spells out Valentine. And I just felt God is longing to be your Valentine. Not in the way of the world. No, Valentine's Day. Oh, how many cards did you get? We have a Valentine's card that God wants to give us that is for eternity. Will you trust in his love for you, that nothing can separate you from it? It's higher than the mountains and the seas. It is stronger than the strongest tsunami. Will you ask him for help to remain in him and him in us? And at one point in the week, I thought, oh, I might design a Valentine's card to give each of you. And then I got really ill, so I'm afraid I haven't done that. And I nearly deleted the slide, but God went, no. Holy Spirit went, no, I've got a card to give each person that is here in this room. So I don't know what your Valentine card looks like, Jean. Because it will look different to Andy's, as it will look different to Jackie's and to Gemma's and each one of us in this room. Sharon, God has a Valentine's card that he wants to give you. He loves you. He enjoys you. He delights in you. He sings his love songs over you. He knows every hair on your head, Neithi. No, he knows all of our worries. And yeah, Jean's celebrating. Thank you, God, for healing. So I just want to give a couple of minutes, if that's okay. And I just want you to shut your eyes and I want you to be open to Holy Spirit. What does my Valentine's card look like? What's the picture on it? Has it got a fancy smell to it? Can I eat it? Is it made of chocolate? But then what's written in it? And if a word pops into your head for someone else, be brave, go and give it to them. But we're just going to wait upon him for a few minutes. Okay. You are the apple of his eye. You're his beloved. He runs through open fields. He gazes through windows, longing for you. He sent his son to die for you. Greater love have no man that he gives up his life for another. You are beautiful. Beyond compare. He's your fortress. He's your strong tower. He's your refuge. He's your anchor. He's your way out sign. He's your provider and your protector. And we could go on. There's a song off one of the albums that I've asked the guys to play. Because I just think it's all about him, isn't it? And we're here for him. And I don't know, Dave, if there's anything else in that. Yep, so if you want prayer for anything.
Scott, thanks. What we'll do is we'll want to listen to this song, and then I want us to actually go into groups for this truth that's being shared, like in most weeks, but sometimes we need to grab hold of that truth. And the truth is that God's saying to us of how much he cares and loves for us, and we need to say thank you, okay? So I just want us to be simple and just saying thank you for how much God has done for us, okay? And then I want us to pray. If you have something for somebody else, that might be in your group or it might be in another group, then please share that. Pray for people around it. And it might not be that you know any situations, but we can pray exactly what God's saying, that his love is immense, and we pray that for the other people in our group. And lastly, I want us to pray for next weekend, whether you're there or whether you're not there. It's a significant time for us as church, for church family, and we need to pray for that. So there's three things I want us to get into groups about, and we're going to listen to this song first of all. So if can I get you to go into groups first, whatever you think, four or five, something like that, just get into a group, okay? And then we're going to listen to the song, and then I want you to pray for those three things. Okay.